The president has not responded to your letter, has he?
I think that Mr. Bush has lost a lot of good opportunities, including these recent ones and initiatives by me.
Well, if he's leaving office, you will be dealing with a new president. By the way, do you have a preference among the American candidates?
No, we do not have a preference of any sort because we believe that these are issues relating to the domestic affairs of the United States, and decisions pertaining to that must be made by the American people. And it's not important to us either. What matters essentially is that the president that is chosen by the American people should adopt a path and a policy approach and for us to observe that policy approach. This is the campaign period. Anyone can say anything. So we disregard that. What matters is that once someone is in office, we have to watch and see if that person will bring about some changes in policy or continue the same old path. I think that's more important than who is actually voted into office.
Would you like to meet with Senator McCain or Senator Obama?
I have said that, in fact, on this very trip, currently in New York, that I am ready to speak with the presidential candidates before the press, with the presence of the members of the press and the media, and discuss world issues and debate them together. I believe that we've really done whatever we could in this respect.
Why do you think they don't want to talk to you? Why do you think Bush, McCain, Obama, why don't they want to talk to you?
You should ask that from them, don't ask me.
Well, you're regarded
as... We are for talks and dialogues.
But you've been regarded as a hostile state, and there are many things that Americans worry about with regard to Iran. You would agree that you are, for want of a better word, a controversial figure. Are you not?
The
country of
Iran has a historical presence that extends to 7,000 years. And never has the Iranian nation taken a misstep against another nation. Throughout history, it has demonstrated that it is a nation that is for peace and friendly with others. The war that occurred in the past century, the only war that confronted us in a major scale was Saddam Hussein's war against us. That was, if you recall, supported by the U.S. government and a number of European governments against us, actually. And what we did was defend ourselves innocently. Of course, I will always defend the rights of my nation, the independence of my nation, the rights, the legal rights of my nation, and this is the responsibility of every president. But this defense does not mean that we must infringe on the rights of other nations, not at all. You are aware that in the course of the U.S. attack on Iraq, we were asked, in fact, to enter into the coalition or the war to some extent, not the coalition but the war, just to make up for the war that Saddam launched against us that went on for 8 years, to basically get him to retaliate and revenge the war, in other words. But we refrained. We refused.
But aren't you glad that the United States helped the world get rid of Saddam Hussein?
How do you interpret the sort of different policy approaches that the U.S. government adopts, and at times they contradict one another? Now, for 8 years, Saddam was supported. against us. He bombarded Iranian cities and towns. He used chemical weapons against us. And in the meantime, the American government was giving support to Saddam. And then the U.S. government went and overthrew Saddam. Well, perhaps in the first instance, we might have been happy. But when we realize that the U.S. government is more interested in staying in Iraq and to dominate through its presence in Iraq, the region, I ask you, would you have been happy if you were in our shoes watching that?
Mr. President, you were once a mayor, and we have a former mayor, now governor, Mrs. Palin, running for vice president. What do you think of her? Would you like to meet her?
I've said that we've done whatever we need to with respect to this discussion. We sent a letter to Mr. Bush, and we also invited the people here for a talk at the United Nations headquarters, and regionally in Afghanistan we assisted in bringing about security and safety. So we think it's now high time for the American officials to take the next steps.
But you would meet with her. If she said, I would meet with you, you would meet with her.
I will await and see what evolves and happens. Of course, we are interested in talking with one another. We believe that through talks and dialogue, things can be resolved much easier. Of course, a dialogue that is beset by an environment based on respect and justice. Now, are you sure that she's going to become the president?
No. I'm saying just what she's running. She's going to be, she's maybe vice president.
She wants to become the vice president.
Yeah. You were both mayors. Right? So you have something in common.
I wish that we would have talked together when we were both mayors.
Okay, one of the big fears the United States has, the world has about Iran, is nuclear weapons. Can you tell us what you're doing with regard to them? Are you building them? What's the status of your country and nuclear weapons?
You've raised, in fact, three issues. The first is that you said that the world is afraid of Iran and concerned about it. I ask you, which part of the world are we speaking of? Is it the case that the U.S. government is the equivalent of the entire world and can speak for that world? Is it the case that the U.S. government and a few of its allies can be considered as the whole world? No, not really. Let me tell you, if you're talking about the Western states, I have to say their concerns about us are not new. They've always been concerned. They were the ones who incited Saddam to attack Iran and to get us involved in an 8-year war. The terrorist groups that killed our president, prime minister, our officials are now freely active in the Western countries. But let me tell you, 118 member states of the NAM, the non-aligned movement, have actually supported our peaceful nuclear pursuits. 57 member states of the Organization of Islamic States have also given their support to us in this regard. And there are many other organizations, multilateral organizations, that have supported our endeavors and efforts. So it's not the world exactly that's concerned about us. And that's really the first point I have to clarify. The second point is regarding the question of the bomb. We believe, as a matter of religious teachings, that we must be against any form of weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons. The production and the usage of nuclear weapons is one of the most abhorrent acts to our eyes. In addition, we also believe that the atomic bomb has lost its use in political affairs, in fact. The time for nuclear bombs has ended. Whoever who invests in it is going the wrong way. Was the nuclear bomb able to help keep the Soviet Union intact and prevent its downfall? Was it able to bring victory for the United States, either in Afghanistan or Iraq? Can it be used to that end? Can the nuclear bomb save the Zionist regime? The time for bombs of that nature has ended. It is a time of thought, a time for culture and reason to prevail. There's also a third debate in the nuclear issue. We're all aware that, in fact, the nuclear issue regarding Iran is a highly politicized one. It is, in fact, purely politicized. It's not a legal battle at all. The IAEA has mentioned, in fact, more than 12 times in its documents and verified that Iran's nuclear activities are of a peaceful nature. The agency has said that they have, in fact, not detected any non-compliance or deviation on the part of Iran. So, I'd like to add that all our activities in that realm are completely legal and peaceful.
So you are open for inspection to anyone who wants to inspect? Just so that would take all the fears away if you just let the United States or any international body look in.
The largest number of inspections in the history of the IAEA has been done with the country of Iran. We have offered the IAEA the largest number of documents in its history. No country in the world has cooperated with the agency as much as Iran has done. And that's verified, but I'd like to ask you at the same time that there are countries who have nuclear weapons arsenals and are actually developing a new age nuclear warfare. Should they not be inspected as well? Don't you think that their activities should be brought to an end as well? Who exactly is the threat? Us working with the IAEA, with their supervision mechanisms, whilst the IAEA has also said that they have not found any documentation that would say that Iran has deviated from the peaceful path, or really those who are now developing the fourth and fifth generation of nuclear weapons and have historically, in fact, used the nuclear weapon. Don't you think the Zionist regime needs some inspections as well? I mean, isn't that a dual standard?
I want to be correct on this. You've called for Israel to be wiped off the map. Now, since you say that you are a peaceful nation, you don't mean militarily. Do you mean politically wiped off the map? What do you mean?
I think that I have to elaborate on two points here. Today marks, in fact, the fourth year of that I visited New York City. And the questions that are being asked of me are the same questions that were asked 4 years ago. Whereas the world, in fact, has undergone tremendous changes since. Many developments have unfolded since. In the United States, in Europe, and everywhere else around the world, these developments are new. I've responded to this question many times before. The fact that we oppose the fundamentals of the Zionist regime is because of peace and justice. We seek a viable peace. Perhaps as a journalist who has years of experience, you must be aware of what goes on in the Middle East, the extent of the calamity, in other words. For over 60 years, more than 5 million Palestinian people have been displaced. People who were forced out of their homes. And those who have stayed are being bombarded every day militarily. They're being killed in their own homes at times, women and children at times are besieged, and medicine, water, and food does not always reach them sufficiently. Children lose their lives, as do women as a result at times. Sometimes women die giving birth. Palestinian figures are assassinated, and it goes to such extent that it's actually announced beforehand. Three big wars started by the Zionist regime,
but
the last of which was in 2006 when they attacked Lebanon. So when will this calamity, this catastrophe end? Our solution is a humanitarian one.
How?
What we say is that in the Palestinian territory there must be a free referendum, and the Palestinian people should determine their own fate. This is the spirit and the letter of the Charter of the United Nations. I ask you, I'd like to ask you, really, how is it possible to force out a people of one land and then gather other people from around the world and let them sit and live in the homes of others and establish a government? There's really a logic that is unacceptable. What are the Palestinians to do? The world community that the United States claims to speak for, how come does not embody the voices of the Palestinians? 60 years of displacement.
Would you agree, and there are obviously disagreements here, would you agree to sit down with all of the people of the Middle East, Israel included, to work at some solutions? You don't want harmful solutions. You don't want bombs. You don't want to obliterate a people. You want to do some things politically. Why not sit down and talk, Israel included?
You see, the Zionist regime is an uninvited guest. It is an occupier.
But if you don't
killing
talk to
people,
them,
allow me. I'd like to ask you, if someone comes and occupies the United States, as American people, would you give them any rights? Or would you force them out?
But the world declared it a state. Israel is a state. That's a fact. You're not going to change that fact. Israel is a state. So all I'm asking you is, why not get together now, states and state, and discuss your disagreements and hopefully come to some peace and bring about justice for Palestinians? Why can't you, Israel, you're not going to change that.
The apartheid regime of South Africa was a fact as well. Where is it today? The Soviet Union was a fact as well. Where is it today? Did the Soviet Union collapse as a result of talks and dialogue, or as a result of resistance, in other words? At times you have to resist. You see, over 100 peace plans have been offered for the resolution of the Palestinian crisis, and all of them have been defeated. None of them have given results. Today, the head of the Palestinian Authority, the Egyptian leader, Many others have negotiated with the Zionists many times, but has there been any result? Hundreds of meetings and negotiations. What's the result so far? Except the expansion of the Zionist regime, the expansion of settlements, except for the escalation of tensions and terror and the killing of people. This regime is fundamentally illegal.
Mr. President, since violence is not the answer, and even if the Soviet Union did it without violence, South Africa did it without violence, what's the solution? How do we bring about this concept of peace everywhere? You don't want to see Israelis die, right? I assume you don't want to see Israelis die. You don't want to see Palestinians die. What's the answer?
Let me elaborate on two points in response to your question. When we speak of a disappearance, what we're speaking of is that crimes must disappear. Murders and killings must disappear. Terror must disappear. Aggression and occupation must disappear. But our solution is, in fact, a very humanitarian one and a very democratic one. What we're saying is that throughout the Palestinian territories, people should gather to determine the type of government that they'd like to have and have an election for that, free elections. For all, under the supervision of international organizations. Let us give the Palestinians an opportunity to have self-determination. This is the only viable solution.
But does Israel remain Israel?
Well, let the people decide. Why should we decide for the people? We must allow people to decide for themselves. It's their right to decide. I think that there are two reasons that account for the failure of the peace plans offered for Palestine. The first reason is the disregard for the root cause of the problem. The Palestinian people were living in their lands, and they didn't have any problems. It was others who came and created problems for them. Well, so we really have to identify the roots of that and then seek a solution based on that reality. A second reason is that the right of the Palestinian people for self-determination has been overlooked. Both have been overlooked. I've heard a lot that unfortunately a group of people are trying to infuse the idea among the American people that Iran even wants to attack the United States, that Iran is a violent country or whatnot. These are all false propaganda. Where have we ever attacked? What we're saying is that we must allow free elections to happen in Palestine under the supervision of the United Nations. And that the Palestinian people, the displaced Palestinian people, or whoever who considers Palestine its land to participate in free elections. And then whatever happens as a result can happen.
But you do not wish.
We can't decide for the people.
You do not wish the Jewish people harm.
No. You see, we have no problems with Jewish people. There are many Jews who live in Iran today. In Iran, for every 150,000 people, we have one representative at the parliament or the majlis. For the Jewish community, even though there are only 20,000 in Iran, they still have one independent member in parliament who has the same prerogatives as the other members of parliament. But please pay attention to the fact that the Zionists are not Jewish people. They have no religion. They have no religion. They're neither Jews, nor Christians, nor Muslims. They just wear a mask of religiosity. How can you possibly be religious and occupy the lands of other people? How can you call yourself a religious person and kill women and children?
Well, they come from
women and children. Women and children were besieged and as a result cannot have access to medicine.
Mr. President, do they not? I know you've denied this for some reason, but do they not, the Zionists as you call them, do they not come from some history of persecution? Do they not come from the deaths of millions of men, women, and children? Is there not a birth, no birth in that? You don't think that happened?
You see, first and foremost, they just simply don't allow anyone to freely discuss the history that happened. They're just saying, this is our account of the history, and this is what happened, and everybody else just listen
to
it.
You said it didn't happen.
Let's just assume. See, what I'm saying is let more research be done on that history. There is a claim that the extent of the calamity was what it was. There are people who agree with it. There are people who disagree. Some completely deny it. Some absolutely agree with the whole account of it. What we're saying is that we should have an impartial group go do their own research about the extent of the calamity that occurred and then announce the result of that. Now, but what I'd like is really to put this debate aside for a moment. Let's assume that it happened. The extent of which everyone is speaking of. Where did it happen? Did it happen in Palestine? Or did it happen in Europe?
It created Israel.
If it happened, if it happened in Europe, if the crimes were committed in Europe, why should the Palestinian people be victimized as a result? All right, in Europe, why don't the Europeans just give them a territory? Or in Alaska, perhaps. They can give them a territory anywhere they like. But why pay from the pocket of some other people? It's as if somebody throw a party from the pocket of someone else. The Palestinian people had no role in that crime. They're innocent completely.
Mr. President, do you fear at all Israel or the United States attacking you?
Do you think that they would do that?
I'm asking.
I have no concerns in that regard because they are unable to do that. Because the worst thing the U.S. government can do would be an attack. I think that in the United States, there are enough reasonable people, smart people, who would not allow the U.S. government to make such a big mistake.
How about in Israel?
The same, too. It's much smaller than that for an attack. It's way too small. It's not doesn't even factor in the equation of Iran's foreign policy. Iran is a vast country. Have you visited Iran?
No, I'm planning to next year.
Oh, I have to tell you. I think that the whole members of the press here, the media, have to come and visit Iran. The Americans. I've noticed that in the news, when they want to show Iran, they sort of show a small, underdeveloped, sort of desert-like country. Iran is an extremely big country and very developed and powerful, too, with big people.
By the way, you mentioned human rights in Israel. Don't you have some human rights problems of your own in Iran?
What do you mean by a human rights problem?
People protesting that they don't have the same rights as other people? Homosexual treatment. You said last year you denied there were homosexuals. There's homosexuals everywhere.
I said it's not the way it's here. In Iran, this is considered a very ugly thing. Most people dislike it. And we have actually a law regarding it. And the law is enforced.
It
is a law that was passed, it was legislated, and it is an act that is against human principles. A lot of things can happen. They can cause psychological problems, social problems that affect the whole society. Remember that God's rules are to improve human life. In our religion, this act is forbidden, and the parliament has legislated about it. Not now. 70 years ago. This is something that happened 70 years ago, before the Islamic Republic came into.
So what happens to gay people?
Now, let me. Nobody's held protests.
شما نگران 70 میلیون مردم ایران هستید یا یه چند نفر همجنسگرا؟
Are you concerned for 70 million Iranian people or a few homosexuals?
فرض کنید در آمریکا
2 میلیون نفر in Iran, let's assume in the United States
نفر رانندگی میکنن.
That 200 million people drive cars.
یه میلیون نفر هم خطاکار هست.
And a million violators are around
از قانون تخلف میکنه.
That they just basically violate driving laws.
نگران 199 میلیون
Should we be worried for the 199 million people whose safety we must be concerned about or the 1 million violators?
قانون هست.
The law is for all and it's law.
قانون اعمال میشه.
And it must be enforced, of course. Please do pay attention that in Iran, nobody interferes in the private lives of individuals. We have nothing to do with the private realm of people. This is at the non-private, public realm. In their own house, nobody ever interferes with people.
Do you want the United States out of Iraq right now?
If it can, it would be the best scenario. But I think that it needs a timetable. That's what I think. A clear timetable so that it would allow for their withdrawal in the shortest period of time. Because the presence of the United States there has not reduced tensions, and it has not limited terrorism either. In fact, it has increased terrorism. So we think that it will benefit everyone. It will benefit the Americans, the Iraqis, and the region if the withdrawal happens. But it needs a specific time frame.
Do you think relations between the two countries, the United States and Iran, can get better?
Definitely so. I want to remind you that the United States cut its relations with us unilaterally as a means to place pressure on us. Maybe the politicians back then in the United States thought that with the severance of ties, Iran will die or that it'll be weaker. But as you know, this didn't happen. The reason was that they didn't understand the Iranian people, the nation. The Iranian people are great people, a people with a rich civilization and culture, human beings who are big at heart, big intellectually, numerous talents around, a humanitarian culture that prevails, and that kind of people can always run its own affairs and manage itself with dignity and well, and we've done that. It was the U.S. government that cut ties with us, not us.
Mr. Senator Obama has said, Senator McCain is not, but he is open to diplomacy. Does that encourage you?
We are interested in having relations that are friendly and respectful. We prefer that and propose that. But it is for the American government to decide what choice it wants to make. And whatever choice they make, we will also take measures and organize our efforts accordingly. But we think that a relationship based on justice and respect will benefit all sides, and that's our preference. And we actually propose it and suggest that that be the case.
Do you expect it?
I think that every government that comes to power in the United States must address two sort of agenda items. The first is that it must limit the circle of the interventions of the United States abroad, because these interventions and interferences bring about heavy costs to the American people, both materially and both in terms of the level of dignity of a people. The dignity of the American people around the world has been marred. When you other people, other nations do not have a good image of American people anymore. And materially, you can tell for yourself what it has done to the American economy. I heard just recently that $700 billion are to be infused to the financial sort of institutions. Where is it being paid from? The pocket of American people.
I know they limit your travel in the United States. If you could go anywhere, what would you like to see in this country?
I just want to add a sentence regarding the last question before this, if you allow me. The American government must do two things. One, that it must limit the circle of its interventions abroad to the geography of the United States alone, rather than being involved in Afghanistan or elsewhere, to invest the money of the American people for the American people, for their own health, for their own housing requirements, their own education requirements, employment requirements, their welfare, to take care of areas that are afflicted by natural disasters. And the second thing that the American people, government must do is to fix the relations with Iran. Because Iran is an important country.
We know. Where would you like to go in the United States?
I would have liked to visit different parts of the United States. On this trip, through our mission here, we asked to go to California and Los Angeles. Wherever we can meet with the American people. And to learn about them and their lives. We think that having talks is the best way, the best approach. I think that you, others in the media, the American people must come and visit Iran. These visits will link our minds together. It will create an affinity and a we'll start liking each other.
How many children do you have? Three? Boy, girl, what?
One girl and two sons.
How old?
Two have been married. That means, well, first they graduated and then they got married. And one is a student at the university.
You don't look old enough to have married children.
In Iran, we marry early.
I thank you very much.
In America, too, I know the family is given a lot of value.